Blog Talk Radio.
And to the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jenny Lee of TripleTalkHondo.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Condiment Ali of ContinentLA.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Looters and Loot Workers, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Condiment Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
We've been having quite an exciting day today. My grandkids, daughter, son-in-law, two grandsons showed up. We went pumpkin picking. We went out the corn maze. We went on the tractor hayride.
Haunted house.
The old dairy barns. We got the gourds. We got the pumpkins. And we came home and turned on the railroad crossing sign. Ding, 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 ding. Blew the train whistle. Saw the chickens at our place. And just made it back here in time for the show. So if I'm a little out of breath, I've been trying to catch up with a three-year-old and a five-year-old all morning and afternoon.
Sounds like you had a great time. Awesome.
Well, we did. It was a lot of fun. We even rang Tibetan singing bells, and we blew a Tibetan human thigh-bone trumpet because, you know, every child should have that experience. Halloween!
Oh, that's too good.
Yeah, it's fun.
And we catapulted pumpkins.
Oh, yeah, they had a slingshot, pumpkin slingshot. You could throw them out in the field, but it was environmentally friendly because the cows would come later and eat them.
Cracked open.
Yeah, it was great.
No way.
It was great. So we had quite a day. And the shop was full of customers when I came back, full of customers when I left, and so we had a busy day at the shop, too. So, Ali, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing lovely. It's been a great week, a busy week. And, we have had the craziest weather down here in Southern California. Yeah, summer has ended, but for whatever reason, the past few weeks, it has clung on for dear life, and we've had this dreadful heat. But today I woke up, well, I should say last night, today I woke up, and we had this wonderful cloud in the sky, and it was raining. So it's great. Whenever it's raining and it's nice and cool, Condiment Ali is in a good
mood. Well, you know, it's kind of cloudy here, but, you know, we've cleared up. So, today we have our wonderful guest from AIR is Miss Elvira. Howdy, Miss Elvira.
Hi there. How you doing?
Awesome.
It's just so nice to hear your voice. Those of you who know Elvira and know Lucky Mojo know that Elvira reads and works at Lucky Mojo 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so when I say hi to Miss Elvira on Sunday, it's like it's not like such a stranger.
No, but
tell us what's been going on in your world, sweetheart. I know you're one of the most in-demand readers up here in Sonoma County and around the United States. People call all the time, to have readings with you, and you do light setting. Tell us what's going on in your world of magic right now.
Well, other than my 3 days at Lucky Mojo and working there, I do take private clients on my own time, and I'm actually doing some traveling now to other locations to do in-person readings and do seminars on magic and my passion, which is the labyrinth.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that, where are you going to be giving this this type of stuff?
Well, I've been working on going to Oregon, to Southern Oregon, and I've got a bookstore there that I've been doing readings at and starting to teach. I'm trying to open up Portland and Seattle. Hopefully next year, as well as the East Coast. I have someone who wants me to come out to the East Coast and is working to get things together for me to do something out there, probably, you know, midway between New York and Florida. Somewhere in that area.
So when you're talking about a labyrinth now, are you talking about like a Celtic eightfold labyrinth? Are you talking one of those crisscross shark cathedral labyrinths? What kind of labyrinth are you talking about? And what are you doing it? Are you doing dancing in the labyrinth? You walk in the labyrinth? You meditating in the labyrinth? Tell me all about it.
Kind of all of them, but I'm starting out with finger labyrinths, first of all, because of unless I find one that has a location like the one back east, is looking to do one near an actual labyrinth in a, believe it or not, Catholic church in that area. And so that would be an actual, I would work with people walking through it. But a lot of it is going to be using it as a problem-solving tool and meditation and a long time ago, I did a whole apprenticeship program on it, but I'm condensing it now so that people can use it in the privacy of their own home. So there would actually be copies of it, and then they would be able to use it with the particular tools that I'm going to be giving them in terms of questions and meditations.
So, let's talk about this, because I know that not everybody listening to this show has ever walked a labyrinth. So let's talk about the history of these things. Let's give people a little bit of background. So the oldest labyrinths that were ever found are what's called the Cretan labyrinth or the Eightfold labyrinth. And those date back to the late Stone Age, prehistoric times, and they are found everywhere the Celtic people lived. Sometimes they're called Celtic labyrinths, sometimes Cretan. They're found up in Crete, of course, and then all the way around the coast of Italy and coming up down the East Coast and up the West Coast, and there's a place called Valcamonica where they were found. They've been found to make one of these labyrinths. You have to start with a certain pattern of little dots and V kind of shapes, and you can make a labyrinth. You can't make it without doing that. And so sometimes they have found clayed goddess figures with just the spots pattern without the labyrinth put on them. And people associate it with the head. And if you look up in old stuff from India, you'll see that that was a kind of a symbolism of the way the brain was enfolded. They would draw the labyrinth as being inside the head. Mm-hmm. So you're coming from a very old shamanic and almost lost prehistoric tradition. So now, then, of course, you said Catholic Church. The Catholics picked up on the labyrinth idea, too, and they use them in their churches. They put them in the floor. There are some very old ones up in Scandinavia. I bet Johannes can say, yep, he just typed it in the chat room. Plenty of labyrinths here, says Johannes. There are fabulous ones up in Sweden, some of them made out of big stones or little stones that they've laid out on the ground, and it's believed that people walked them and danced them. So that's kind of my little footnote on labyrinths. Now, when you do this with people, and you're talking about a finger labyrinth, so they're making what, a little, you're teaching them how to draw them and trace them with their finger? You're teaching them how to...
Yeah, so what I'd be doing is I'm going to start with the simplest, which is a three circuit, and utilize it for three aspects of mind, body, spirit, but I will teach them how to do that and then use it for their own tools. And then eventually what I want to do is go from 3 to 7 to the eight, you know, to the 11th circuit, which is basically Chartres. And they get in different levels and using them to go deeper and higher into a vibrational level for them to open up and balance the different layers. So like the 7 to the 7 chakras, and you know, there are all these different correlations that you can work with, and even a spiral, a simple spiral, is as effective as the actual labyrinth that people have seen throughout the ages.
Mm-hmm. Johannes put another little note in the chat room, carved on items as well by folks to protect from the evil eye in the days of Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true, too. And it is thought that one of the reasons that they were so popular is that they are a form of protection in the sense that they are a spirit trap. The evil eye will go into the labyrinth and can't get out. They always, on the old granny assumption that witches aren't as smart as we are or something, evil intention people get caught in those labyrinths. I know I have one. I have one that's stamped in brass. And I'll tell you the truth, I got it done at the Renaissance Fair back when it was down there in Nevada, Sears Point or wherever. And I have that at the headboard of my bed. It's glued on the headboard of my bed to protect the bed. So,
mm-hmm.
Reverend Dr. Sweet says in the chat room, similar to the inside of a demon bowl. That is true.
That is correct.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And now, there's another way they're used, and this is to kind of raise your vibrations by taking you on a journey. And there's a Starhawk. I'm sure you know Starhawk, right, Elvira?
Yes, I do. Very well.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do. Very well.
And
yeah.
She leads people on these dances into the labyrinth and out. So everyone mm-hmm. takes hands. And the old Cretan-style labyrinth, you can go in and you can come out one way. And so everyone holds hands and they kind of dance in, and when they get to the center, they dance out, and you end up with a double line of people back to back, and you can just keep on circulating. It's real interesting because you go down, and as you were talking about the circuits going down into the thing, it's like a change in your level of where you are and what direction you go in. It's very disorienting but very beautiful emotionally. To do that dance. Old Bafana calls it the grapevine dance. That's right. You're holding hands like a grapevine dance. And I've done those a number of times. Very transformative energy, you know, energetically speaking, a wonderful ritual. But you need a lot of people to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And a space to do it.
Disorienting is exactly what you need.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've thought about putting one on our property. We do have space for one. That would be up in the front by the driveway,
mm-hmm.
and there's just a bunch of periwinkle growing there, and we've talked about it a number of times, but I've never got it together to do it. Maybe you'll inspire me, honey.
Okay, well that would be good. I'd love to be able to do it on my break.
That would be very great. I'd love to see one up there.
You'll haul stones on your break.
I'll haul stones and then I'll walk it once I've gently gotten it done.
Yeah. Well, I think we could stand to have it, but we need to get Don to plow it up a little bit and lay down a bed of nice, you know, clean, fresh soil to do it in.
Right.
But, yeah, that would be nice. And people put up temporary ones. People put up permanent ones. Yeah, Professor Ames says, where the guy kept the deer. That's right. That's what we call the deer pen. That part of our property, man who used to live here many, many, many decades ago, he had, every time people would shoot deers out of season, they'd find the little fawns. And this guy was Mr. Fawn Rescue, and he called it the little deer park. He had tamed deer in that front area of our property. And it's kind of an interesting, energetically, that piece of property is kind of interesting because you go in there and you go, oh, it's the deer park. But there are no deer there now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's good energy, though. That's very
calming. It does have good. It's very calming deer energy there. Yeah. So we always keep that as the deer park.
It's perfect place for a labyrinth.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. It would be. Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're going to be doing this. Now, if people want to invite you to go teach them labyrinth magic and labyrinth spirituality, they can contact you through your AIR page. Is that correct?
Yes, they can. Definitely.
Okay. And you're willing to travel all over, right?
Yes, I am, actually. I really do love traveling, and I know my doggies would be sad to see me on the road a lot, but I would love to travel and don't mind it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, the Grand Elvira Labyrinth Tour. You could set up a labyrinth tour of the United States, you know.
That's true.
Doing
labyrinth
every place.
finding, well, they have a wonderful website that's a labyrinth locator, and, you know, you can type in the area, and it'll tell you what labyrinths are near where you're at or in the exact city. So that's something I've been looking at. So you're not too far off on what my eventual goal is.
Really? And this place is called the Labyrinth Locator.
Mm-hmm.
It's like online. Anybody
online.
In the chat room, yeah, if anyone in the chat room can come up with that one, they get special points for posting the URL. And it's going to be a race between Papa Newt and Nagashiva. And one of us is going to post that first. Maybe Miss Tammy Lee. But I'll bet you Papa Newt's going to be the one that hits it first. Papa Newt.
There it
is.
Papa Newt won. It is http://labyrinthlocator.com. All one word, labyrinthlocator.com.
Yep.
Good going, Papa Newt.
Now it's coming up with everybody.
Everybody. Now Joseph did it. Old Buffon and I. He beat y'all, honey. He beat you. Papa Newt's a winner.
Mad skills, y'all. That's
Mad
what he
skills.
Said.
Really?
All right. Well, I love the idea of that kind of magic. And that prehistoric magic is something that, you know, in these days and times, a lot of people, what I call the mall people, sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I call them the mall robots. The mall people don't understand.
I've heard that term before.
They don't understand what's going on out in the world, and they don't understand that walking a labyrinth is a magical act. You know, we talk about in hoodoo, we talk about crossroads work,
mm-hmm.
and there's a certain energy that goes with crossroads work. There's something when you go down into that crossroads. You're kind of at the center of a little universe, right? Well, a labyrinth is a different kind of energy, very different kind of energy, because it involutes and then it evolutes. And until you've walked a labyrinth, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's as simple as that. Isn't that right?
Yep, that is truly that's right on, definitely.
Yeah. Now, sometimes I've seen labyrinths made, temporary ones, made with little candles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll do it in the night on the beach and put out a whole mess of candles and walk that thing at night. It can be very magical. It really can. There's a million ways to work with labyrinths, and I recommend it highly to all. First thing you got to learn is how to construct one. Miss Michael said, I didn't understand the labyrinth the first time I tried it. And that is true. It's something until you've done it, you don't get it. And when you've done it, you go, wow, that was a really interesting experience. So, Turnstile in the chat room says, we do it at the Rites of Spring. We trace one out in white yarn and vigil lights. Very pretty.
Oh, that sounds very pretty.
Yeah.
And actually, mazes are different than labyrinths. That has to be pointed out, too.
Right.
Mazes have blind... that you go into blind areas, so it's more of a trick of how to get in and out of a maze rather than, when you go in with a labyrinth, it's one way in, one way out. So it has a different energy.
That's right. A labyrinth is not a maze. A maze, you know, it amazes you, I guess. You know, you're kind of lost. But a labyrinth, and doesn't the word labyrinth, isn't that related to labyrinth, the double-bladed axe of Crete?
Exactly, and there is also a cross-reference to the form that Mercury, the planet Mercury, actually takes in its path in the sky is very much the same thing.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look forward to seeing you talk about this some more, and I hope that you consider seriously, you know, we're doing those May workshops, we might want to talk about labyrinths at that May workshop. That might be kind of a nice thing to set up.
I was thinking of putting that out, so we can talk about that on, you know, another time, but I definitely was an option I was going to bring up to you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. All righty. Okay, well, we're just about ready to get into the meat of the show here. We're going to be taking some calls from people who have signed up to get readings, and then afterwards we're going to have a bit of a panel discussion between the three of us. And kind of in keeping with this labyrinth thing, we're going to be talking about environmental magic. Okay? So Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to get us our callers. We're going to do readings for them, two short readings and a root work prescription. Okay? Miss Tammy Lee?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divination and describing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can visit the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to get to the phone to take our first client. And our first client is calling in from area code 818 from Los Angeles, California. This is Creole Miss. Creole Miss, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host. You're very welcome. I'm going to let our host know that you have not yet been on the show or had a reading with a member of AIR, but you do have an upcoming reading with Miss Kat, actually this week, okay?
Yes.
And she writes, dating this guy for the past 6 months, everything has been great until an ex-girlfriend of his popped up and she is a threat. Our relationship is still good, but I know that she is a threat and must clear her out of the picture. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Creole Miss. Well, I'm going to take your word for that, and I'm going to keep the reading portion short because I'm your first reader. I do believe you know what you're talking about. And, in fact, here we go. First card number one. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All righty.
Okay, no.
Card number one is the devil. Yes, she is a threat. Okay, I hate it when card number one is the devil. I really do. What they always say, up pop the devil. The devil means that she is working not only on a physical realm, in other words, like to flirt with him, but she also is trying to work on a spiritual realm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not fully.
Okay. She's doing some kind of magic is what I'm trying to say. She's not just a threat like, you know, wiggling her hips at the man. She's a threat like praying, burning a candle, maybe trying to get you to leave, you know, something. She's a threat. This is a bad card, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Card number two, Page of Swords, is a person who's running out into a field with a sword, but it's like suddenly their name is called and they turn back. Their foot is turned back, their head's turned back, and in fact they look back at this devil. It's like he got clear of this chick and he gets called back. So that's not a very good card either. And the third card is a card that tells me there is a little bit of a fight you're going to have on your hands here. This is not the easiest thing in the world. She is a threat. Your idea is correct. And this card is a card that is called the Four of Pentacles. And this shows a man sitting on a little bench, and he's holding on to three coins with everything he's got, and there's a fourth one on top of his head. And he doesn't want to let her go, and she kind of doesn't want to let him go. She's just trying. This little king here has no castle, no throne, but is still trying to cling to everything. And so what I see here with these three cards is you got a problem. That is correct. So let's turn it over to Elvira and see what she has to say.
Well, as we were going along, you do have the card of struggle, which is the Five of Wands, at the center of what I pull. And so that confirms, obviously, that you are going to have to dig in and do some work on your own. I do see that the magic, I have the magician, that using the magic that you will be able to get through the further reading with Kat and anything we suggest tonight will help, because I have the Nine of Pentacles, which basically means that you'll be able to be move into your own garden with, you know, the fact that you do have the beauty and the ability to do this. There is the downside, which is the Five of Swords, which tends to show that you might feel defeated at first. But basically, with the Empress, it's love wins out. So you will be able to have more of your energy into it. And from what I'm seeing here, the final card that I've pulled is death, which to me remains to be seen that you will be able to rebirth the process into a positive forward movement, that that which is old, either the old relationship will no longer be of importance, but that he will truly follow you and be more progressive to your way, but you will have to get in, as Kat said, and do some work.
Okay. All right, well, let's see what Ollie has to say. Countryman Ollie, what do you think she should do? This chick has moved in. We're seeing that it's a problem, and so what are we going to do?
Well, in a situation like this, Creole Miss, I'm all for taking the aggressive action. This is the ex-girlfriend. You're the current girlfriend. She's, you know, walking into your territory, and she's a threat. And not only is she a threat, but Ms. Kat pulls the Devil card, which, in my opinion, and you know, as Ms. Kat indicated, there's some magical work going on here, right? So let's fight fire with fire. That's what I would do in this particular situation. What I would recommend is taking a photo of this particular individual, taking some beeswax, forming the beeswax into a little doll, okay, and stuffing her photo into the beeswax, or you can stick her face right on top, all right? Get yourself a nice big iron cast cauldron, you know, it could be one of the ones that are made for altars, and you're going to put that beeswax doll right in the middle of that, and you're going to pour some Florida water all over it. Be careful, you don't want to fill up the cauldron because you're about to set that thing on fire, and you don't want to, you know, take your house up with it. And what you do is, with prayer and focus, you're going to cry out and say, I turn all your witchcraft back on you and break all spells that you've cast against my lover. And you're going to set that doll on fire. And the wax is just going to melt away. And what you're doing is you're melting her power. This is a very old way of working. Whenever you make a doll of someone and you melt it in a fire, breaking their power, you're turning their wickedness upon them. Then, as the fire goes down, what I want you to do is I want you to take a mirror, a large mirror, and you're going to put it right over the top of that cauldron. So what you've created is a little box with the mirror right on top reflecting melted wax back into it. You're going to tie it up with a chain, and I want you to dump it into a river so that it flows right out of your life. And that's one way to get rid of this person, breaking her spell, breaking her power, and sending her far, far away. Now, you can even add a little bit of hot foot oil before you put that mirror on top with some red peppers and things like that, and then you made a little, what you've basically done is you've made a little container spell with the mirror holding everything in, chained up, toss it in the river, let it sink, let it go out of your life, and go far, far away. But then follow this up by reinforcing your love with your boyfriend, with your significant other. Honey jar spell, come to me spell, some romantic stuff, you know, romantic magic, sex magic, things to kind of redraw him back to you, rekindle the flame while you remove it. So it has to be two-part. Don't just focus on, you know, taking a good old swing at your enemy, but then neglecting your, you know, your lover. Work it both ways, and I do suspect that you will be able to overcome this person and succeed in this particular situation, okay?
Okay.
So, all right,
should I start the honey jar, like, immediately? Because I already have
No. We didn't talk about starting a honey jar.
Well, okay.
We talked about a small cauldron, a wax doll, hot foot oil, red peppers, set it on fire with Florida water, place a mirror shiny side down on top of it when it's out, wrap it in chains, and throw it into water, right? You got to do that, honey, as well as a honey jar. We're not just, it's not just, it's not a sweet little job. You can't
you
get
got
rid
it,
of
you got it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, love is nice, but love is not all honey jars, baby. So let's go over that one again. Small cauldron, wax doll, hot foot oil, red peppers, set on fire with Florida water. Call your intention. All your witchcraft is done. Place a mirror shiny side down on top of the cauldron. Wrap it up with chains. Throw it into running water. Okay? This is, as Candle Magic Sister says, this is epic. That's what it is. Okay, now.
Well, I love epic magic.
Yeah, right. Now, when you've done that, now let's also do the honey jars. But, you know, when we might do a little sex magic. You could put a little bit of menstrual blood in the food that you feed the man. You can put a little bit of love me oil around the bed, you know, things like that. But you asked the question, how do I get rid of this threat? And then you thought you were just going to get rid of the threat by being sweet. No. You can't drive a gopher out of your garden without, you know, literally going after it with a shovel and a, you know, some anger.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's see if we can come up with. I know you want to do love stuff, so let's talk about what kind of love things you can do. Some of the things you might want to do for love would be to but you sound like you're fairly new at this, so let me just give you a couple of ones, old ones that people have heard before. Does the man ever wear a hat?
Yes.
Okay. So get his hat. You can play around, tease him, play around, get his hat. Go in the bathroom with his hat on. Say you want to look at it in the mirror or whatever, and rub the hat between your legs. But you know, pull your panties down first. Rub the hat between your legs, and then you pray into that thing. Call into it, and when he wears this hat, sex with me will always be on his mind. If you have enough time in the bathroom, you can take one of your pubic hairs, if you don't wax yourself, and put it into the hat somehow, like thread your pubic hair on a needle, put it into the seam inside there or into the little sweatband. But if you can't do that, you know, that's a good one. Sew one of your hair into the seam of the fly of his jeans. Turnstile mentioned it just as I was going to. And this is... a way to, and when you do that, you're going to take, and I say sew a hair, you're going to take one of your hairs, head hair, pubic hair, whatever you got, thread it on a needle, and then run it into the fly of his pants, and say, don't let him open this fly for anybody else but me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in other words, you know, I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to be rough on you, baby, but I'm going to just be rough on everybody in the world today. I'm in one of those moods. If you knew how many people think they can solve all their love's problems with a honey jar, I'm telling you, no. Yes, of course, always do the honey jar. Do a sugar jar. You know, I like sugar because you can feed him the sugar after. But please, please, you've got some work to do here because we got some serious cards on you. Elvira, what do you think?
Well, I definitely see that, you know, with the fact that she does have to do the breaking a part of the energy. I mean, it's a defense point of reference, and that's plus. But I also see that the love part of it, she can even use a rose quartz. She can put a rose quartz around where they are together so that that energy draws in and anchors the love. And she can also utilize that by putting her own fluids and his fluids on it and making it an anchor for the love as well.
Okay. Now, somebody asked here, where do we get Florida water? Well, we sell it, and we sell it in three sizes, and I'm just going to put in a little plug for Lucky Mojo. We have the little tiny bottles that are plastic. We have a nice glass bottle size. That's the size you want. And then we have the big, what I call the big refill size that's plastic, but it's like, you know, twice as much, but it's cheap because it's plastic. But the nice glass bottle, get one of those, get a big plastic one, and keep on refilling into your glass bottle because it's so much prettier and nicer to handle.
Yes.
So there you go.
Well, so my question was, I understand I have to do what you guys suggested first, but the question was, do I do them at the same time? Because, you know, I'm going to have to wait for my Lucky Mojo stuff to get here to work on her, so... In that time, since I already have the stuff for the honey jar, can I start that first, or should I wait? That I didn't.
Oh, you can always
correctly.
Start it. You can always start it. That's fine. You can always start it, but be sure
the moon is waxing. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah, but you're going to have to do some hip back too. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you can start your honey jar now while the moon is waxing, and then when the moon goes into waning, you can do the removal work. The point is that you do have to do that removal work. I mean, it's aimed specifically at this particular situation, and it's the reason I gave it to him. I mean, using the change that's invoking the power of the devil card, but putting it back on her. You know, the idea of fire, and you've got a little trap there that reverses everything back on her, and it's going to turn things around. The idea, however, that the reading is revealing is that you can't just focus on a honey jar. But there's no problem with starting that first. Do your honey jar, you know, this Monday or coming Friday, whichever day the moon is waxing, go ahead and start that. Put your lucky mojo order in. The second the moon goes waning, hit hard to remove this other person, because until she's removed out of the situation, until you break her hold, you know, you're going to have a bit of an issue, because your boyfriend is headed in your direction, and all of a sudden he's been called away, and he's turning away going, wait, what? And you don't want that. You want to bring that momentum back towards you, and the way to do that is to drive this other one away.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is if you want to go for a more difficult and really harsher thing, you can also do a nation sack on him, which will tie up his sexuality so that he can't use it with someone else. And you can find that online at luckymojo.com/nationsack.html, all one word, nationsack.html. But that's maybe a little harsher than you want to do. That's why I gave you those simple ones with the hair and the jeans and so forth. And
no, I considered the nation sack, actually.
Oh, you did? Well,
that was on my list of things to do.
Yeah, you might want to do it. But see, it's not just going to be honey. It's not just going to be sexy magic like the hairs. It's not just going to be confining him, which is a nation sack. You actually, the reading shows, you actually have to hit her, too. You cannot
defense and protection.
Okay, got it.
The ideas on what to do, because I had, my ideas were different from reading the forum. You know, I was thinking skull candles. I was thinking vinegar jars. So it just,
you
guys would recommend.
No.
This
is a different situation. Yeah, a lot of people go for those certain things. They always go for the certain things first, but this isn't that kind of situation. You know, I'm going to say something else, too, because Contraman Ali hit on something, too. When the moon is waxing and when the moon is waning, you get different kinds of energies. And any spell that you can do it both directions. So bring love, let love grow while the moon is waxing. Remove her, remove her, remove her when the moon is waning. So you get the difference? See?
Yes.
You just, it's breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, and you just keep on doing it until you get what you want, okay?
Yep.
All righty. Thank you very much for calling. Let's turn this over back to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phone to take our next client, and our next client is calling in from area code 925. This is Candle Magic. Also from the Lucky Mojo Forum, Love Potion number 9. And are you there, caller?
I am here.
Welcome.
Welcome. Hello. Hi, Miss Kat.
Candle Magic has not yet been on the show, she writes. And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of her situation. And she writes, I'm starting a new job on Wednesday, and I want to know how this new career path is going to go for me and what I should be looking out for. Turning it back over to you.
Congratulations, Candle Magic. Do you mind if I call you by your other name, by your real name?
Absolutely. Oh, please, go right ahead. Pretty much everybody on Blog Talk should know who they're talking about.
This is Trish. For all of you who don't know, this is Trish.
Yes.
Hi, Trish. Trish is the lady, and I know all of you forum members know Trish is the gal who posts all those fabulous photos of the May workshops. Every time she visits the shop,
yes.
She comes in. That's Love Potion number 9. That's our Trish. Okay. All right. So let's see. Ollie's going to give you a little quick reading on this job and what you should look out for and how it's going to go.
Awesome.
Sure,
thank
absolutely.
You.
If you don't mind me asking, Trish, what job is it that you just started or going to start?
It's a laboratory job in Santa Rosa. It's at a place called Medtronic, and I'm not exactly sure what I'll be doing. It is definitely a bit of a career change. I will be pretty much overseeing a lot of the research that's going on there, as well as helping out with some CROs. So it's in the same realm, but it's completely different from what I've been used to, and I'm just
a bit nervous. You're going to be working with a group of people in a lab?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, I've pulled three cards. What I'm going to use is the Rumi Tarot. Each one of these also comes with a little verse. The first card that we have is the King of Staz. And the King of Staz shows us this very handsome sultanate, and he's this sultan, and he's sitting on this beautiful carpet, and he's got a lamp before him with, you know, figs in a dish, and he's got a staff, and you can see minarets in the background. And this says, rejoice in the pleasant things and the success of the objects. This indicates to us that this is a success, that the very foundation of this shift is going to be very good for you, that you can look forward to being recognized for being successful, recognized for your natural skills and your abilities. The way to go forward is really revealed in the next card, which is the Ace of Swords. It's just slightly different from the Ace of Swords in the Rider-Waite. In this one, we have a sword that is split in two. This is actually a very famous medieval Middle Eastern sword known as Zulfikar, which literally translates to hair splitter. It's a mystical sword that's believed to be so sharp that it can split a hair in two. And it says, be like a polished sword, free from tarnish. The indication here is that you want to go in and you want to go in hitting. You want to start off your first day showing your capabilities, showing your strength, showing them that you, how easily and quickly you can pick up procedures and processes. And you want to demonstrate them that you are a sharp sword. Okay, that you're going to go in, especially if you're overseeing something, right? They want to see you be able to kind of take responsibility and be the best that you can be, as cliche as that sounds. But the Ace of Swords tells us, bring in your natural skills. More importantly, it tells us you do have the skills to be successful in this particular career. The two cards together, the King of Staves and the Ace of Swords, are very good cards, and they indicate a very good start. Now, what do you need to be aware of? And that's what the question you asked. And we have the Seven of Swords, slightly different from the Seven of Swords of the Rider-Waite. Here we have a stag that is going across this beautiful, very oriental-looking stag, going across this beautiful meadow. And there are seven scimitars around it. And this card says, every step there is a snare. Do not advance boldly. The indication from Rumi here is that well, you want to hit the ground running. You also want to be very conscious that there are going to be some pitfalls. More than anything, this is a card that tells us there's some politics that you need to be aware of at your new career. Okay? You're going to have to navigate the new political climate of your job with a bit of finesse. All right? So be careful not to step on any toes. Show that you have the inner skills, the inner qualities that they were looking for. Show the leadership skills that they're looking for. Show the your natural capabilities. But on the same note, be aware that there are some pitfalls around you, that there are some opportunities to make mistakes. Avoid those mistakes. Avoid the political climate around you, and you will do well in this profession. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
And I'm going to turn this over.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to do a little bone reading here. So I'm just going to grab some bones out of my Kapala, and this is just a small assortment, a random assortment. Looks like I got a bell. I can hear that. And I'm just going to throw them down here and see what we got. All right. That's interesting. I have never seen this before. Toward me at the bottom, you know, every bone reading is different. Toward me at the bottom is the weasel jaw. That stands for gossip. And the badger tooth. The badger tooth is in it, biting back. Now, the badger tooth is good luck, and I've never seen this. It's like this giant badger tooth is about three-quarters as big as the whole weasel jaw. Weasel jaw is quite small. Badger tooth is quite large, and it's like this thing is biting back. So beware of gossip, but be able to stand up against it. With its back to the weasel jaw is the alligator paw, and it is clutching a carved peach pit, and this peach pit is carved, and it has the Chinese symbol for good fortune. You know that real famous Chinese design. You see it everywhere in Chinatown. That symbol means good fortune. So the alligator foot means good fortune. It also means good money, because you got that alligator foot is of money. So this says, go in, protect yourself against gossip. And this kind of goes with what Ollie was saying. I sang it a slightly different way. And then there is the little bell, and the bell is kind of nestled in right around that thing, too. And the bell says, be alert, wake up. But it also tells me that there may be something you need to just stay alert. The bell is always just this little tiny, little rings a bell. It just says, stay alert. There's something there that you're going to be wanting to watch over. And the last of the pieces that is over these is the deer bone, and it is making the form that is called the camel, and it has four sides. And the camel is the side that stands for endurance. And so don't jump out of this thing too quick. There is a little bit of some sort of a gossip or some sort of a, you know, you're going to be the new kid on the block. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but be alert. Your tooth against their teeth, just, you know, be aware. But there is fortune to be had here, and there is good luck if you just stay awake and alert, okay?
Okay.
All righty. So let's turn it over to Elvira. Elvira, what kind of magic should she be doing for this new job? What kind of spell work?
Oh, well, since I like fire, obviously some of this is going to be candle work. So what I would say is, to set up a little mini altar where you have three candles. One is going to be green, and you're going to carve on that attraction. One is going to be yellow, which you'll carve master. And then the other one will be purple for conqueror. What I want you to set in the center of these three candles, with the point coming down towards you for manifestation, are seven coins with a pinch of basil on top of the coins, and then I would like to see three stones. One is pyrite, one is citrine, and one is cat's eye, that will be set as well in a triangle, but this time with the triangle pointing up. So you're basically forming a Star of David, which is basically a protection as well as higher energy format. And when you do this, you would do it on a Thursday, which is a Jupiterian day, so you'll be increasing. Also understand that citrine is a protection stone. The pyrite obviously is for money, and the cat's eye is also for success and protection. Now, to carry with you would be a little pouch that you can wear, as they were talking about concerning gossip, is that you would have a citrine, which is also another stone that I would suggest you have for personal use. It keeps the self-cleaning stone. It works with a lot of that energy. It brings in power. It's also for success. But you also want to protect against the gossip, so I would have a pinch of rue and a pinch of cloves. Those would be the things that you would use with that in a bag, and that would be something you would carry with you so that when you go to the job, you are able to have more of a protection involvement. Do you have any kind of a desk that you'll be working at that's yours?
I believe so. I haven't been there yet, but if I remember correctly, they did say I would have a desk.
Okay. Definitely, if you can get a plant, a green plant of some kind that you can put there, I would also put that along with another one of the cat's eyes. So you can have, like, an eye to keep an eye on all the different people. And it's also a plant which helps to bring in that energy of, you know, stability, growth, energy, prosperity, and I feel that those things would help you both in your place as well as while you're traveling throughout Medtronics. I actually know Medtronics. I don't know which facility you'll be at, but I know both, of at least the one out the airport and one over in Fountain Grove. So those, I think, will help you with your energy. In terms of
can I ask a question, Miss Elvira? You had named three candles. The first one was attraction.
Mm-hmm.
What was the second one?
The second one would be a yellow candle for mastering the involved her mastering what she has to learn as well as the situation. And mm-hmm. then the third would be purple, which would represent John the Conqueror. Again, conquering the situation, keeping her energy strong. This is obviously with the fact that there has been some energies that people were picking up in the reading that was more of, you know, not bad energy, but negative kind of energy. You want to stay strong and you want to be able to take mm-hmm. care of also progressing forward in your job, since it will be more of a structure of mastering what she has to do as well.
Right, right.
If I may add just a quick...
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
If I may just add just a quick thing, I love those suggestions, and I really enjoy the use of the stones. It's very grounding, and that's a great way of working to kind of bring everything, you know, down. Your first couple of days of work, a neat little trick that I've always taught my clients whenever they go into a new place is take some slippery elm, burn it into ash, pray Psalm 91 over this, and then make a cross on your shoes. You know, you just put right on the soles of your shoes or right on top, and it helps you to literally slip right through any type of gossip, any type of workplace politics, and it makes the day go so smooth. Not only will the things that people say not stick to you, but you will find yourself not engaged in that type of gossip and politics, and it works wonderfully. Just add that to the work. Burn it to ash, pray Psalm 91, and then with the ash, make a cross on your shoes, and then let yourself slip right through.
That's really great. A good one. Yeah, another, of course, I like to use the oils and things like that. And Stop Gossip Oil is made with slippery elm, and other people will sometimes use plantain, not the banana type plantain, but you know the what's called goose foot, and it's a weed that grows in lawns. And people will sometimes write their wish on the plantain leaf and put it in their shoe, mm-hmm. and it's sometimes also used for protection. So those are some good ones, and we've got. What we're seeing here is just a little bit of, it's not like some sort of dangerous thing, but it just shows there's a little gossip here that maybe, you may be walking into something that has a little bit of that, you know. So now, as far as what kind of a career change and what, you know, and a new career path, I think this is a good career path. I would also do some work around the company to make the company love you. So if there's a break room, you know, and there's sugar packets or something, you know, be swapping out those sugar packets. I know you know what I'm talking about. Were you going to steal, temporarily borrow some sugar packets, take them home,
yep.
Have the logo of the company, Medtronics, have the logo in the sugar bowl, the names of everybody as you get to introduce to them or meet them, find their little Facebook pages or whatever, avatars, and put them in the sugar. Then that'll be loose sugar, and then you can put the little packets from the break room, and of course don't forget the artificial sweeteners too, because some people do use those, and layer them in there. You can then leave them for a week, take them out, dust them off. They won't show that they were laid in your sugar at all, and of course pray over them and stuff. And you can, if you want to do it nice with a candle, you can put them in a canning jar, a wide mouth pint canning jar with a screw top lid, and then just unscrew it, take them out, and then bring them back, swap them back in, take some more out. And, you know, that's kind of a nice thing to do to keep people in the office all on your side. Okay?
I like
sweet.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And if
you.
They yeah, do, my... yeah, yeah. If oh, they do have, if they have loose sugar, of course you can always swap your loose sugar in. But most places now keep the sugar packets because everyone, you know, wants to have their own little privacy. So it's, you just have to sort of salt. I call it salting. It's not sugaring, layering those sugar packets in with your sugar, and just pray over the whole thing. Light your little candle, and as Elvira said, attraction, master, and John the Conqueror. That's a nice triad. You can use the little 4-inch candles. It would be green, yellow, purple, green, yellow, purple. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, I hope to hear more about this and what a great job it is for you, and I'm so glad you got the job.
Me too, and I couldn't have done it without your guys' help and many people actually that are in the Blog Talk chat room right now and the Crystal Silence League. Everybody's really been pulling for me, and I just want to say thank you, and I love you all.
Well, we love you too, honey. And now you're going to be in,
oh, that's very sweet.
In Santa Rosa. You're going to be closer to us than you used to be. Yep. So we hope to see more of you, okay?
Oh, you will. You'll see more of me and my money.
Okay. All right, sweetheart. Okay, thanks
for
calling, baby.
Thank you so
All
much.
All right, let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjamin Ali of ConjaminAli.com, and this week's special guest, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client who have signed up to be on the air. Our next client, is calling in from area code 917. This is Andy U.S. Andy, are you there, caller?
I am. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. And welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you have previously been on the radio show.
I've never been on the show. I've spoken with Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali in the past.
Oh, okay. All right. Back in 2011 for unrelated general matters. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Super. Okay. And she writes, things in my life are finally looking up, and now I would like to get over a broken heart and do some love drawing work for myself. I would like to get a reading on my future prospects and root work that I can do to begin to draw a partner into my life. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, let's let Miss Elvira do the first reading on this one.
All right. Well, I'm using one of my more favorite techniques, which is to just use wax dripping to get a pattern along with scrying. And
okay.
What I'm seeing right now is that you've been scattered. And because you've been scattered, a lot of different things have come and gone in your life in terms of a relationship situation. But what I do see for you right now is that there is a love coming through, someone who probably, from what I'm seeing right now, looks like they may be in some kind of government position or something to do with government work, that what I sense is they will be much more mature and balanced, and there's a feeling that you will appreciate their wisdom and they will appreciate yours. I see more of that coming in terms of congregating, because what I'm seeing right now is like a major cluster in the center that actually looks like two hearts coming together. And what seems to be forming with the wax is almost like two pillars of a temple on either side of those hearts. So I sense that you'll have your own identity with the situation, but it will not be something that will draw you so in that you lose who you are in terms of what's going on. And as far as being able to work on your the heart issue, obviously, that shows me that you've really done a lot more work than you actually know, that you've been able to go beyond the smaller parts of your life, and you've gone to a bigger, it's like you've reached to a bigger section of yourself in your own personal work. So even though you may think you still have a lot to get over, I don't see it as much as you really do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, Ali, what do you see, and what technique are you going to use? That was great,
wonderful.
By the way, Elvira, wax drippings. That was new. That was wonderful.
It's beautiful.
I loved it.
I am using my Kapala, and it's filled with water, so I have been scrying in it. And the first image that I see here is a pyre of sorts. It looks like logs that have been set on fire, and there seems to be something within it. So I'm seeing it as a pyre. The indication here is that you have gone through some very difficult things, but the key is to leave those difficult things behind you, to really walk away from the past, to memorialize it, say it's done, it's over. I cherish the good that was there, but I'm moving on towards the future. The next image that I have is it's showing a path that's leading to a mirror, okay? And it's a mirror hanging on the wall, kind of reminds me of the mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. And what this really tells me is that you're going to have to really take stock of what you're looking for in an individual before you dive in, and take a stock of what's happened in your life so far before you dive into a new relationship. The path is going to be long and winding. I don't expect new love to come within the next month or so. It may take a little while. It may be the end of this year. You know, the end of this year is not that far away. Or early next year is when I really see it. Around New Year's, possibly later January is the sense that I get. I also see here a scorpion. So this tells me that the man that you're going to meet is going to be a Scorpio. Okay, I do agree that this is going to be a mature individual. However, he is also going to be quite good in bed, is the impression that I get from, it's always good to hear, right?
Yes, excellent.
That's the impression that I'm getting from the scrying. I do agree with Ms. Alvira that he may be a little bit more mature than you're used to. Not literally in the sense that he may be older, but he's going to give it off a very mature, old soul type of personality. Mm-hmm. Fiery, he can be a bit snappy, but look for a Scorpio around January, and that's going to be your ideal mate in the near future, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, I'm going to give you some down-home practical ways to draw this person in.
I'm ready.
So, first of all, what sign are you, dear?
Sagittarius.
Okay. So we're gonna work with some of the things that have a Sagittarian quality. Sagittariuses love philosophy. They love religion. They work very well with the kinds of magic that come out of the ceremonial magic tradition. For instance, they like things like seals and sigils. They do really well with that kind of work as opposed to like a Taurus that just likes to bury things on the ground or whatever, you know. So we all have our different strengths and weaknesses. So I want
I like
you to know.
I like the seals.
Yeah, right. Well, I like the seals too, but I don't use them as much as I ought to, probably. So what I want you to do is something that I was taught. This does not come out of hoodoo, but it's just as good, and it's pretty good anyway. I want you to, however you like to work, whether you want to work with the seals of Solomon, whether you want to work with the seals of Moses, I'm going to let you work that through yourself. Something for love. Some people say, oh, I want this, you know, the veve of you know, Ursula, or whatever it's going to be. Could be just the symbol for Venus, but, you know, it's going to be a symbol for love. Could be just a heart with an arrow through it. You kind of want to make four of those. However you're going to make these, you want to make four of them. Does your bed have legs on it?
No.
It's beds on the ground.
It's a platform bed.
Platform bed. So, but you can lift up the four corners. You can lift up the corners,
yes,
though, right? All right, so under the four corners of your bed, you're going to make these, prepare these four seals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you make these seals, I want you to put your sexual fluids on them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're real good, I want you to draw the symbol in, with your sexual fluids. And I want you to put a little bit of love powders on it, if you can, you know, when it's a little moistish, okay? Just a little bit of lovey powder or something like that. And I want you to put one under each of the four corners of your bed. Dress your bed with some kind of come to me or attraction, look me over, you know, kiss me now, any kind of blend of good love oils on the four corners, or powders if you'd rather powder your sheets. Some people don't like to put oil on their sheets and things like that. Okay. Then you're going to go to the four corners of the room. And if you do something simple like four hearts, you know, I'll tell you another one. You can also, people will draw a heart in menstrual blood, something like that. Just any, like I said, the simpler the symbol, the better. But some people like to cut out those. They make the photocopies of that Keys of Solomon and they cut them out. You know, whatever you want to do, baby, up to you. But you're going to put those there. And then in the four corners of the room, you're going to make little symbols that point to that. So you can use, any kind of a powder and just lay down a little bit of a, like a little arrow point, like, you know, it's like a making a little trap, right?
Okay.
Now, under the bed, at the center, I want you to put two lodestones. And these lodestones you're going to have prepared. So you're going to get the two lodestones. You're going to put them about as far apart as your thumb and little finger can reach. That's about 8 inches usually. And you're going to address them with magnetic sand. You're going to call one for you and one for my ideal lover. You're going to, if you lay them out on a table, if you made an equilateral triangle, at that third point, you would put a little red candle. It can be just a small 4-inch candle. It can be a Bride and Groom candle, whatever you want. Every day for 7 days, you're going to burn that little red candle, either in sections or a whole one every day. But don't use a vigil light because they don't work out to 7 days very easily. And,
right.
And then just bring those lodestones closer, closer, closer every day till on the seventh day. They're like directly in front of that candle and they're touching. You can use little lodestones if they're nice, highly charged ones. They don't have to be big old ones. Those are going to go into the center of the bed. Right? So you're basically making it kind of like a spider web. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to go around the four corners of your house or your apartment or whatever you live in, and then around the four corners of the property, and just put in a little bit of love powders down and just say, come on, come to me, come to me. It's like you're setting up like a target. It's kind of like, on your iPhone when you're driving around and there's that little circle and it goes bloop, 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 and it shows where you are? Right.
Mm-hmm.
That, think of that. That's where I am. Come and get me, right?
Come and get me. Okay.
Okay. And you can say it, come and get me. Now, when you go out, you're going to carry a little bit of that same kind of stuff on you, a little bit of the oil, blend of the oils that you used in preparing this thing, or blend of the powders, and you can make a little mojo with the same kind of things in it and wear it. But the idea is you're going to make a kind of almost like a, we'll just call it a love trap, okay? Does that make sense to you? All right? It's a good way to work, and it's a good way to have someone come to you. Another thing you can do is keep a love light burning. A love light, it could be an oil lamp. It could be a series of vigil lights. I like to use oil lamps.
I love oil lamps. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So an oil lamp, put a little bit of red things in it. You can put in red lamp oil if you want to dye your lamp oil red, but you don't have to. You put a couple of lodestones in that. You can put in some bloodroot. A pair of blood roots, what they call the he root and the she root. You can put in some alkanet because it'll sometimes dye your oil. Any kind of herbs for love, that are in that oil lamp, just keep that oil lamp burning. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning, and that will draw love to you too. All right, let's see who else has something to contribute as far as spells that you can do. How about Elvira? You got a spell?
Well, sitting here listening to that, I think that's absolutely fabulous. I mean, I don't know how I could top that one. I love the web kind of thing. And I'm looking, I drew it out, and I thought, just that, it's a cross. I mean, it's like an X marks the spot routine.
Right.
So, what I would say right now, if you're going to do something of that nature, again, I would look at use sugar. Drawing in and unlocking the sweetness of this desired relationship. So use a little bowl and put some sugar in it and take a key, put the key into it and turn it left and a revolution in place. You can take the key out. It doesn't have to be any special key. And just unlock and sweeten the love of my life to come to me, the one that is the right one. And you can do this daily. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night. You could just do it. It's sort of opening that energy. And then you can also use that sugar in your own cooking to bring that into you, to bring it into you as much as a like to light you up as well as to draw it to you.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you another one. Thank you, Elvira, because that put me in the mind of another one. When you're making this little sort of diagrammatic crossroads that's going to only lead to you, you can find, depending on where you live, four crossroads in the four directions from where you are, and go and sprinkle sugar at each of the four arms of that crossroads and say, may he come with sweetness from the east. May he come with sweetness from the south. May he come with sweetness from the west. May he come with sweetness from the north. May all roads lead to me. Right, and you just did the same at all four of those crossroads, putting out the sugar for him. Okay? And
I will.
And another one when we're talking about sugar is ant hills. Okay? So ants like sugar, right? And a lot of the ants in the world are in contact with the other ants in the world. This is something that's just one of those strange things, but you know, ants all talk to other ants. So if you know any place where there is an ant hill, take a little bit of that sugar from that spell that Elvira gave you, where you turn the key in it, or from the crossroads, and you say to the ants, ants, you know, run far, run wide, run everywhere on earth, and tell my lover to come to me. This is where I am. Okay? And
get the
ants to help you. Yeah.
I will definitely do that and update everybody, because the advice you guys gave me last year has helped me turn a corner, and things are beautiful. So thank you, and thank you.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. Just to add to that is we had lots of, you know, beautiful, earthy, you know, Solomonic seals. I love it. It's great. But I want to add one thing, because I did see the image of a pyre in this particular instance, and it reminds me to a certain extent of burnt offerings. What I want you to do is I want you to get some come-to-me incense, love-me incense, and write down a list of the man you're looking for. You might want to add Scorpio good in bed, since that's what we saw in our divination.
Mm-hmm.
You write that out, you fold it up, and I want you to actually put that into the incense and burn it with the incense as an offering in addition to the candles that you're doing. This sends up your prayers and puts them out into the world, sends your prayers up to God. Burning prayers is a very beautiful way of combining the act of giving a burnt offering with your prayers. And I think that will help speed up some of that work that you're doing and bring your lover to you much faster.
Yeah,
I will definitely employ virtually all of this. Thank you so much.
All right. I got one more. I can't let it go. And you don't want to take
it. Great. I'll take it.
Some baths. I thought Ollie was going to say take a bath, because he always says that. But be sure that you just, you know, use some of these love drops of various types, love me, whatever kind you like, a few little drops of love in the bath, and always be wearing that little bit of that on you. And, of course, you can take a nice bath with, different, you know, herbs and roots that are, you know, like Damiana, catnip, and so forth, to draw love, juniper berries and things like that. Some people like to use juniper berries in red wine and drink a little bit of it and put a little bit in the bath, and different types of things like that. And always, excuse my language, but just carry a little bit of your pussy juice up behind your ears when you're looking for love, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I'll definitely do that. I'll take that into consideration as well.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, thank you for calling. And
I know
we gave you almost a whole book of spells there.
I was taking shorthand while you were doing the listen back when it's an archive, so I can get everything right.
All right.
Good.
Well, then
we're
hoping for the best for you, and we'll send up some prayers for you. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Miss Tammy Lee, we're going to go to our discussion next, but let's turn things over to you.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in each week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Our next segment is going to be our discussion panel, and our discussion panel this evening will be Environmental Magic and the Community with Ms. Kat, Conjurman Ali, and Ms. Elvira. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, I'm going to let Contraman Ali and Elvira set this one up.
I hand this over to our wonderful guest.
Gee, I got it by virtue of everything. Thank you. Well, I guess in a way, when I look at environmental magic or community magic, I look at working with the spirit of place. For instance, the environment, the spirit of place is always one to connect with. So depending on what it is you're looking for, I would say the first thing would be to contact that particular energy pattern. And then once you've got the feel, just like you would when you go to a graveyard to connect with the spirits that are there, is once you do that, also look and see what animals are around, what of the elements of the four-legged creatures are there, or, you know, that would be another thing to notice. One of the things I was told a long time ago, that when you have a lot of poison ivy or oak in an area, it is an area of protection. It is using that to protect itself. So look for plants that grow profusely in the area to know what the condition is of the environment. This is just a place if you're trying to work with environment and bringing environment in. And then once you've got that, I would go with connecting with the angelic realm. And I always like to go to the archangels, so I kind of go up and work with, if it's healing for that area, I would definitely work with Archangel Raphael in the healing aspect, and Uriel, because that is the angel, archangel of the earth realm in the sense of that element. But I would also work with Lord Metatron, because he is the one of patterns. So I would see that those would be the three that I would work with on that. And I like trinities anyway. So I would tend to do that, to sit with that. And then move forward would be to see what is requested of it, meaning is there ceremony that needs to be done or ritual, or is there some kind of protective energy, which, you know, again, any of the protection spells that we use in hoodoo can be augmented into that. I mean, that would be my way of looking at environment. I'll turn it over to someone else for community or discussion of what you think that.
That's
would
actually
entail.
Very beautiful, and I think it's great. And it's something that is a bit overlooked sometimes in modern Chandra practices, because Chandra really is a distillation of various traditions: Native American, European, African, and all of these traditions. These we can look at as the mother streams that all come together to form Chandra and hoodoo have some type of tradition of working with the spirit of a place. It's not just the spirits of the dead, but the spirits of earth. I mean, the very foundation of Chandra is working with the spirit of John the Conqueror, but then there's also working with the spirit of the forest, working with the spirit of a city. And people on the radio show will have remembered that sometimes I do, especially with immigration work, recommend someone to go to the square of a city or the city center and call upon the spirit of that actual city. And that really is a beautiful way to working. When I do this particular works, I find that offerings of coins, candles, and honey seems to be very well received by these place spirits, and they can be called upon to assist in healing an environment. If you, for example, find a devastated forest, you can help revive it with certain types of magic, like waking up the old spirits that may be asleep and bringing them up to be protectors of that forest, giving offerings of honey and maybe cooling water and things like that to fortify the spirits so that they may revive environments, and even assisting in communities that may be struck with poverty. You can call upon the spirit of that city, enrich it through conjure work by giving it offerings, and help to, by virtue of feeding the spirit, to feed the community or the city, so to speak.
Wow, you guys work so different than me. Wow, I'm just entirely in two different other directions. How interesting. We've never discussed this before, so we've come up with different ideas. Okay, what I do is the first thing I do is visualize the watershed. And I have to explain here, I'm not a person with any water on my horoscope chart, natal chart at all. But I do a topo map, or look at a topo map if I have to start with, but I can just start with my usual kind of memorized topo map of the area. And I figure out what the boundaries of my watershed are and where that watershed drains to. Where does the water come from? Where does it go? Because it's kind of a feng shui thing, I guess, although I did this long before I knew what feng shui was. If you know where the water drains out, you know the natural outlet for the energy, and you also know the natural boundaries of that piece of land. And when I'm talking watersheds, a watershed can be little, it can be big. There's some very big ones. And so I start with the watershed and visualize it. Then I orient myself in the watershed depending on what I want. I want increase, I want decrease, whatever. And I'm orienting towards that outlet for that watershed. I also will work with the spirits of the people who the places have been named after. You know, if a place is named the Red River, well, obviously we're just going to work with the color red. But let's say a place is named Las Cruces, like Las Cruces, New Mexico, or whatever that place is. You know, that's the crosses, so we should be working with crosses when we're there. Or maybe the spirit is a person, like, you know, Greeley, Colorado, you know, Mr. Greeley, Horace Greeley, the newspaper man. So you have to get in touch with, I think, the tutelary spirit of the place, even if it's a recent name. But sometimes there's a whole set of layers of names. The Indians called it such and such, and then it was named such and such, and then it turned out it was another city with the same name, so they renamed it. And so I work on all of those names, all layers, starting from the oldest name I know up to the most recent name, even down to the name of the street I'm on, even down to the name of the tract or whatever it is, because those are our modern versions of the earth spirits or tutelary spirits. So I call the names of those who built the house, if I'm in a house, to be with me, because they're the ones who made this all possible, that I stand in this house. If I am walking on the land, you know, outdoors on a piece of property, even just a backyard, I try to cast my mind back in time and visualize who was here first, where they walked, where the natural pathways, not just what the fences.
You have a very spiritualist approach. It's your spiritualist is coming out. That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. For instance, just to give you an example, I own 2 acres here, and it's oriented more or less north and south. But there's every time we have found obsidian arrowheads and obsidian knives, they're always in one area. And we know why, because that was the path. And the path, actually, and there was a little camp fire area but the Indians had, it's actually kind of the edge of our property. It's between our property and the next property, which used to all be one thing. And it's this natural path on the ridge of the hill that goes to the south. And you just go, yeah, and if you did that, you'd be in the Estero, and there you'd be. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, you can see it. So you want to see who's been walking this land. And Turnstile says elf shot. Yeah, finding old arrowheads. That's called elf shot by the old Irish. So that's how I do it. And, yeah, you know.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
You're very oriented towards the spirits of kind of bringing out the history and the founders. I like it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I want to talk about what Elvira talked about, which are the animals at the place. So, and I just got to give a little shout-out to Cast. He says, L.A., El Pueblo Nuestra Señora, La Reina de los Ángeles de something or other. Porcelainula. Okay, there we go. That's L.A. Yeah, but, and I got to laugh because I'd have to practice on how to say that one. But, you know, I want to look at the animals. So which are the native animals to this area? What spirits, you know, have been barred from the land? What I call barred from the land is when they've been killed or driven out. Wolves have been barred from the land. I invite them to come back in spirit. And also animals that are emerging in the area because of, say, climate change. The Baltimore Oriole has changed its range. The Hooded Oriole has changed its range, and they're coming up north. I say, well, welcome, Hooded Orioles. You can come up north, you know. But I always want to talk about the animals that are both native and the animals that are the invaders. Sometimes I try to bar some of the invaders myself and invite them in. And then the plants, like Elvira said, you know, let them be with me and all, you know. I even visualize the soil type, okay? So, like, I live on a part of the land that's called the Gold Ridge. It's a sandy ridge of soil. It just got raised up out of the ocean bed. And to the west and to the east of it's this browner soil. But on the Gold Ridge, it's kind of a yellowish sandy soil. And I always go, I can visualize myself on the Gold Ridge. Also, happen to know that if I point my cell phone parallel to the Gold Ridge, I can pick up, I get better reception, and on my radio too. I don't know why. So there you go. I figure it's spiritual as well.
Well, this is how you develop, you know, and historically you find root workers and conjure doctors with plant familiars and animal familiars, spirits that they've developed a close relationship to. If you work with the community, if you work with the environment, they start working with you back, and you form partnerships. You know, you have Dr. Buzzer, Dr. So-and-so, and this really comes not just from taking names of people who actually connect with animals and the animals of the land.
Yeah, and that's going to, I'm going to say something about that, because there's been this thing going around the internet. Everyone wants to be a root doctor, and so they figure they got to have some Native American animal name. I don't know where they get that idea, because, well,
yeah.
Sure, it's Native American, but it ain't the most African American thing to do. But people get these names that don't really have to do with the animals that are in their area or the animals that they really are familiar with or know about, and they just
right.
take these animal names. Like, I gotta be Dr. Buzzard. Oh, if you could, you point me out a buzzard in the sky, sir. Not
yeah.
sure what they look like. You know?
You can't call yourself Dr. Buzzard if you can't point out a buzzard in the sky. Well, see,
right.
I'm a root worker. They take, oh, I'm a root worker. Which one's John the Conqueror here? hold on, let me look at the packaging.
right, you know, and it's sort of funny too. They all take the same sorts of animals. I mean, you know, how many people get called a lady bat? You know,
yeah,
you know?
Or owl. Owl's another
yeah.
very common.
Yeah,
one.
right.
Mikel
is cracking me up in the chat room. Dr. Dan, she says Dr. Soldier Beetle. Miss Ladybug Turnstile says Dr. Dandelion.
I like
good.
Dandelion. It's good.
Yeah, that's good. But you know, those things are important. Now, when you want to do healing work for a community, because we're also talking about urban communities, I live in the country,
yeah.
so I can talk that way. But when you want to do healing work for a community, one of the things that I like to do is go to the crossroads in that community and do some spiritual healing work around that. You know what I'm talking about, Elvira? Have you ever done that kind
yes.
of work?
Yes, definitely, because that, of course, the crossroads, and luckily we have many crossroads where we have tracked homes because we have blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually pre-made, and you can work with doing that into a tract of homes, or you can do it into a particular area of the city, depending on what you want to do, but to open the way for spirit to come in, for the healing to come in. Yes, definitely.
I just got a vision. You could take Google Street View and draw a labyrinth using city streets and
mm-hmm.
walk that labyrinth. Wouldn't that be a trip and a half?
Yeah.
It'd be a long walk, but it would definitely
be a long
be a trip.
Walk, yeah. Well, they're still cracking me up in the chat room, Dr. Nightcrawler. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, but let's be serious here. Sometimes we need to do work to protect our place. And
yes.
And I don't mean necessarily politically, but that sometimes happens too. I will tell you that I have walked a piece of land where a Walmart, excuse me for calling out their name, was going to be put in, and there was going to be some, you know, talk against the Walmart, and there was going to be some talk in favor of the Walmart. And I walked the whole perimeter of that thing, chanting, no more Walmart, no more Walmart. And guess what? They turned it down. So you can do it, folks.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, to add to that, Kat, there was going to be the Whole Foods that's presently over at Cottingtown was originally going to be over on Highway 12 before you get to Mission. And it planned, and there's this little community with some homes, and there was a assisted living. And there's only like one road into this place, and they wanted to put a huge Whole Foods, which is this big grocery store. And that's exactly what I did with the property, because I was living at that time in that little community, and I did a series of things to work with the spirit of the place and to bar literally that. So not only did I use herbs that would block it as, you know, protection and things up, but I did do exactly what you said. So, and it worked.
Wow.
So I moved to another location.
Very good. All right. Well, that brings us to the end, but I enjoyed that very much. And let's turn this thing over to Tammy Lee and let her take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Miss Elvira of Santa Rosa, California, and of Lucky Mojo for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Rangers and Root Workers will be Madam Nadia of Crowley Moon at blogspot.com in Chicago, Illinois. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Kimmy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, all. Thank you so much, Miss Elvira. Thank you, Nagashita,
for the board.
Thank you for
joining us.
Thank you.
Tammy Lee, and thank you, Ali. Stick around. We'll be in chat. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.